Om Shri Sai Ram. Good morning and divine greetings and Sai blessings to all the listeners of Radio Sai. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Offering myself at Bhagavan's lotus feet, this is Karuna from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you to Thursday Live with a huge, enormous apology. We are facing a lot of technical difficulties on Thursday morning, strangely, for the last 2 weeks, and today I apologize for signing in about half an hour too late. I hope you can forgive us, and I hope we'll be able to resolve these technical difficulties as we move forward. Now, we are right now coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios, where the time right now sadly is 11 minutes after 10 a.m. It should have been 9:40, but we are terribly late. Today is Thursday, February the 12th, 2015. The morning temperature in Prashanthi Nilayam right now continues to be an easy breezy 23 degrees Celsius, and the general outlook for the day is clear with sunny skies. Overnight lows are at 19 degrees Celsius. But I have to inform you that slowly but surely, Mr. Golden Sun is making its presence felt in the afternoons. With the mercury rising to early 30 Celsius, that is. And I'll just take a moment to make sure that I have the green light from the audio engineer, because everybody's making a lot of gestures to tell me something is not working right here. So let me just see how it's going. Now, I hope you can hear me wherever you are, because I've been talking for a while now. And I hope somebody's listening. Now, with the heat increasing in Puttaparthi, what is even more heartwarming, and all puns are intended, dear listeners, is that we are likely to touch mid-30s very quickly in the afternoons over the next 1 week. Once the sun starts shining on us, it does so in all its glory, I guess. But still, all said and done, the weather in the Divine Valley right now continues to be unseasonably pleasant. And it's nice to see a whole lot of Western devotees trying to soak in all the vitamin D they can absorb by sitting on the low wall across from our office. And speaking of foreigners, it looks like a substantial mix of the world population has descended in the ashram right now, with high numbers of Indians from north and northeast parts of this country as well. I guess the freezing temperatures in North India and Northeast India make Puttaparthi the destination of choice, even from a weather point of view. But the actual reason everyone is pouring into the ashram right now is because on Tuesday, February 17, we begin the sacred Mahashivaratri celebrations in the ashram. And as Mahashivaratri is exceptionally powerful, an important opportunity for those seeking to achieve their spiritual goals, the one place we can all sublimate our egos, our fears, our anger and our desires is, of course, Prashanthi Nilayam, the undisputed seat of ultimate truth, beauty and goodness. Dear listeners, it's time to come home and bask in the love of Shiva Shakti Avatara Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Let's all sanctify our lives by singing the glory of the Lord with all our hearts throughout the sacred night, keep vigil, and expel all traces of negative traits from our divine soul. Now, this could be our make or break moment, and let's make the most of it. And as you can imagine, we are going to begin our program on the evening of Tuesday, February the 17th. Bhajan will begin at 6, but I guess the program will begin earlier with Vedam at about 4:30. And we'll conclude early morning 6 a.m. on February 18th, which would be a Wednesday. And what better way to mark the beginning of this auspicious season of Shivaratri than by starting a 6-part Triswit Divinity interview with the very senior, mature and spiritually mellow devotee of Bhagwan Baba. Dear listeners, exactly a year ago, that is in February 2014, I sat down for 3 very long sessions and recorded just a few highlights of Professor M. Nanjundaya's interview. And a year later, we are happy to begin this 6-part, exceptionally inspiring, exceptionally insightful, Tryst with Divinity conversation, and this is our Mahashivaratri special on Morning Glory. When you listen to part 1, you will know why we saved it all that way for about 12 months, as we had to offer something special at Bhagwan's lotus feet for Mahashivaratri. But before I go there, first I'm very pleased to play for you my Fleeting Moments interview with the young lady from Belgium. Maya Duvide is an alumna of the Sai School here in Prashanthi Nilayam as well as the Anantapur campus of the Sai University. And here is my interview with this young and wise young beautiful lady, beautiful on the inside as much as on the outside. And here it is for your listening pleasure and your inspiration. Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with the former students of Bhagwan's schools and colleges. I'm delighted today to welcome to our studio Ms. Maya Duvide. Maya Duvide is the daughter of Mr. J.P. Ramanand Duvide, who is a teacher in the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School. Maya attended Bhagwan's Higher Secondary School right here in Prashanthi Nilayam, where she studied grades 10, 11 and 12. And when she graduated from her high school in Prashanthi Nilayam in 1998, she won the National Prize in Business Studies as she was a student of Commerce, Accountancy and Economics. She went on to pursue her Bachelor of Arts from the Anantapur campus of the Sai University, where she took up Economics, Philosophy and English Literature. She was also honored to be the institute captain for Anantapur campus in the year 2001. Maya presently lives in Antwerp, Belgium, where she is the operations manager that makes her second in a line of command in the logistics and insurance company, which deals with diamonds and jewelry. Maya also helps in the coordination of the Sai Center, which has been set up by her father as per Bhagwan's instructions. Sairam Maya, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam Karuna, Sairam everyone.
It's so nice to have you.
Thank
finally,
you.
Finally, all the way from Belgium. Maya, tell us about how you came to Baba in the first place.
Well, I was just recently also mentioning to one of our Sai devotee friends and family that actually it is because my father has always been a spiritual realist with 2 feet on the ground, that Swami came into our life, and so onwards it was to all the friends and family and anyone who comes in contact with us. So it's that has been reading Mahabharata, even when he was working on the ship, he was doing yoga from long back, long
and
before I was born.
He's a person.
Yes.
With an Indian name, Ramananda, J.P. Ramananda.
His name is Jean-Pierre. Ramananda was given as a spiritual name to him.
I see.
And so actually it was in 1970s that he read Swami's book on written by Hislop. It was then that he felt an immense love, an immense feeling of love, but it was after reading the book, then actually went mainly in the Kriya Yoga stream. There was an initiation in the Kriya Yoga school. And then further onwards, actually there was, like, many people used to feel attracted to Papa, and we were always discussing about the actual reality in life. And like that, there was a bunch of people, all of us, we had the earnest wish to go towards God. And it was actually written down in a letter form, and it was sent that time to the Kriya Yoga Association in USA. And they were just posted, and at that moment, like that, felt something's going to happen. Not even a week later, we were singing bhajans. It's like Swami took over immediately when that earnest wish was there. Swami took over, and ever since Swami's been consciously in our life.
So you must have been a baby then.
I was, it was mid-80s. I was around 6, 7 years old.
I see.
Yeah.
And about your journey to Swami?
Well, it was like 86, 87 were the first journeys towards Swami by our family and friends. And in 87, it was actually my father had an inner calling to come to Puttaparthi, but my dad also said that the finance is not there right now, because he had just purchased the house, which was in service for spirituality. So there was no finance. And then my dad told Swami, like, yeah, I wish to come, but there is right now no money also. Then suddenly, a few days later, he received a call from the company Lloyds, the insurance company. And they said, yeah, are you home? And they made a small appointment to come by. On that particular day, they came. It was one person. And like we have a very big salon table. And he just entered the house. He sat on the corner of the table. He opened his bag, showed the paper, asked that to sign. And after that, he left. He went, he took one flight steps down. And that just opened from our first floor. He opened the door to see where the person was. He just completely disappeared. You could not see him. And there was ample time to have followed the person and see on the street. So like, what happened? It was just enough money that was needed to go to India. And it was related.
Did he give you money, the person?
No, it was related.
The guy just signed
to
something without seeing?
He signed the paper, and it was relating to an old accident that had happened like 30 years back. Mm-hmm. And the insurance company on that day, they did a revision, and they noticed that they had to still give an amount. But I've never heard of an insurance company who is going to look 30 years back to see if there's something outstanding, and then to present it to the person.
So suddenly you had the money. Dad
yes,
had
it
the
was
money.
For two tickets, uh-huh. so they could go to Partiden. That was one of the first physical introductions that then took place. And one of the interviews also, Swami, we were there with a group of people, and we just said, Swami, group? He said, no, center. I said, Swami, group? No, center. Three times like this it happened. And Swami also created a lingam. And he knew, of course, we don't know all the puja rituals, etc. So he said, just put some water and give to anyone who wants for healing. So that's how the lingam also came to the Sai Center. And practical. Swami is always very practical in his divine love. And the seva possibility is no better way to do seva, because it helps you to see God in another person and be practically busy, not thinking of your own troubles. No, do something with the love that's given by Swami. So mainly the Bhavikas are taking place in the center, and then education to the smaller generations to know how to proceed with life, to pass on the important things. Together we go to the old age houses. I don't know if there's a particular name for it, but to help them to go to the market or to go to the zoo or whatever. Like these small things, practical translation of Swami's message, translation work of interesting literature. Also on the importance of Sanskrit, etc. All that was following after that. And
you continue to do a lot of this in your center even today.
Yes, yes.
So I understand you meet every single day, 7 days a week?
Yes, we do. After each one of us complete our work during the day, we come together and mainly what we discuss is the thought for the day that is posted here by Bhagwan. That one, each one is translating it in their own experience. So if you're a housewife or you're a teacher or you work in the IT sector or anything, each one has a different way of translating that practically. So actually we share that in how we experience the thought for the day together. And after that also we discuss some good offhand experiences that anyone might have, and also practical things about health, education, or something which is interesting for all to know. So it's a satsang. But we always start with the Hanuman Chalisa or Ganesh Veda or Animeda Suktam. That's the start, and then we discuss the topic.
So all the Belgian devotees, they are all Belgian, not Indians living in Belgium.
We're white-nosed people.
Okay. And all of them know the Vedam and the Hanuman Chalisa?
Yes, whatever we're learning, we're picking up also. But these, we do.
That's admirable. So you're basically, a social life for after hours is all spiritual?
Yes, and that's our great good fortune also, because it's important to keep the balance. You know, when you're working throughout the day, and we then have a satsang, it's really good, because listening from other fellow devotees how each one is practicing Swami's message, it is bringing you back to your home feeling and bringing the real importance of Swami's relation back to the foreground. And then that's actually the spiritual food that we get to again proceed. So it's, yeah.
It's nice to know that everything you have picked up here as a student is playing out so well in your life and you're able to stay on the path. But if I may rewind here, Maya, how did you become a Sai student in the first place? You joined here in grade 10.
Yes.
So you were already a teenager. You'd been to high school in Belgium.
Yeah.
Huge transition.
Yes, it was. Again, I have to refer to my father. He basically he saw in the West the education, mainly the morals, were going down immensely. So he wanted a good education as a start for life. And that's why in 92, it was he just offhand mentioned, Maya, would you like to go to Swami school? Just as a question. And I was a bit overwhelmed, and I was like, I don't want to leave my friends in Belgium. And I was not really open to the idea. But in 92, in August, we went for the first time. I myself was my first journey with my parents. So then I really enjoyed the different atmosphere, because that's a new world that's opening. But I was basically calm when I was back on the flight. Was sure I was not going to go to Swami school. I wouldn't be left behind as a children's fantasy, you know. But then when I came back to Belgium and I was going to school there, I really saw the difference in atmosphere. I had now experienced something else. And my eyes were opening to the lack of respect that was being given to the instruments of knowledge, and the teachers, the attitude towards students. Everything was, I started to open my eyes to it. And then slowly the feeling of I wish I could go to Swami school started to grow. But it was a really internalization process, because in the beginning it was my head only which wanted to go. And it took a while till my heart was ready to open up fully to the idea. Even so that on one of the journeys which my father did to Whitefield, it was that time, when my dad asked to Swami about the school. Yes, sit down, he told my father, but he was actually sitting down. So, and after that darshan, when my father called, and he asked Maya, what about the school? I was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm happy here, I'm everywhere, I'm happy. You know, it was like a bit of an evasive answer. So my dad also understood that time why Swami said, wait, sit down. So, but then really the moment when it happened, it was in 95. Then it was really an inner urge to really join Swami school and be able to pick up here together with youth, Swami spirit, and learn to work with it for the rest of our life.
You were ready yourself by then.
Yes.
And that's, I think, very important. A lot of people tell their children, which I find so obnoxious, they say, you know, if you don't behave, if you don't do this, you don't listen to me, I'll send you to Baba school. It's not a prison that you punish your child in.
No.
It's a place when the child is ready and sees the worth of it, that they will embrace the system and
find
what it has to offer, which no other place in the whole universe, any amount of money cannot give you, what Satya education offers.
Yeah, exactly. It was also like all the practical things have to be done first. Swami is also very particular that the passports, the visa, everything should be in order. So that itself takes a lot of time to get in order. And then in the interviews also, Swami each time would say, yes, it's okay to join, but it's not when you come out and you go to Muni Auntie at that time, you say, Swami told you it's okay to join. So many people will tell Auntie Swami's given. So it was like 3-4 interviews like this in before then Swami directly told Muni Auntie that it was okay to join. And then it went all so fast. It was overnight almost, you know. Suddenly all the gates were opened, and it's an overwhelming experience then, because the next day, Swami said, just go to school, and I wrote a small entrance exam. And then Muni Aunty said, yeah, tomorrow it's Thursday, it's a good day, so you join straight from Darshan. And then she said, just stand near the Krishna statue on the Mandir. And then the school came, and I just joined my line. And ever since I've been in the school, it was the weirdest experience, sitting in Darshan straight away, and then going
joining the school.
Yeah, and then going back straight to the school. And I remember very clearly, and that's really one of my classmates, Priyam, she said, seeing me there in the school, she said, would you like to come to the prayer hall? I said, yes, please. And then we went, and then immediately there was such a home feeling, and I really felt like more than 1,000 brothers and sisters suddenly are, yeah, you're part of your... Yeah, that was an overwhelming, really nice experience. And then, of course, there's an adjustment time also, the food and the habits and the way of thinking is different. You have to
adjust. How did that play out?
It's I had to just go with the flow and not keep stuck to my own idea.
What was the hardest?
The hardest? Well, the hardest also became one of my best experiences, and that was actually learning Sanskrit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was 10th standard and board exam that year.
Yeah, and you didn't even know a word of
nothing.
Written or spoken Sanskrit. Altogether new language so late.
Yeah, and board exam means, not everyone of our listeners will know, but it's an exam that is written...
Like a national exam, at a national level.
It's not by our teachers.
No, it's the paper is set externally, and it's an external exam.
Yeah.
All over India, children write that.
Yes, and you won't even see a name on it. It's a number that is mentioned on it. And Sashi ma'am was our Sanskrit teacher. And there itself, Swami taught such a beautiful lesson about the relation with God is omnipresent. It's via his instruments, it's via... You really, that moment itself, Musashi ma'am said, you know what, you learn one essay, Paropakaraya, and then here and there a little grammar or that. But she mainly focused on that. But believe me, Karuna, it took me 1 year to learn that also. It's, sticks and dots and lines. It, for me, it was like it would be Chinese for you. It's,
exactly.
Yeah. So my pre-final examination marks were like... shamelessly 30, 30, 13 also 13 I had one time
out of
100.
Oh dear, okay.
It was a struggle, and even trying asking my classmates to say out loud the essay, and I would record it and listen to it to somewhat get it seeped in like that. And finally, board exams were approaching, so we could go to Darshan, and Swami would bless our tickets, our hall tickets.
Your ID cards, exam cards.
Yes, to be part of the exam. And we were sitting in line, our class, and Jagriti, she was sitting next to me, I remember very well, and I was holding a letter. She also was, many of us were holding letters and pens.
We used to read, pass us, write for us, get us through.
Yes,
I've written many of those.
Yes.
And I always gave him my roll number, my ID number. Remember, this is my number. If I make Boo-Boo, just fix it, please.
Yeah, it was really, we were sitting there, and Swami came, he took our letters, he blessed our pens, and at that time I just raised a little bit and I said, Swami, Sanskrit, and then he looked at me very, very happy, and then he passed on, he proceeded, and I sat down and think, why on earth is Swami happy when I'm struggling here and not an inch of it is going inside, and so the exam was approaching, and that time was also festival time, and there was absolutely, I had no concentration because all the things were going on. I remember Muni Aunty, all the teachers from the school, not even Sashima, but everyone was supporting, even our family and friends, the Sai Center in Belgium. Come on, Maya, go through the experience. And I went to the prayer hall and I said, Swami, this is not an exam in Sanskrit. If at all it is something, it is only attests. It's just with you, I go through, or I don't know. It's not for me as a Sanskrit exam. So I got up early the day of the exam at 3 o'clock. I went over the information text, and next day the exams were held like usual in the boys section. So there were so many exams on that day, there was no place. So they had to put us in the prayer hall. So I felt so happy. Our class, we could sit in the prayer hall and write the exam. Then they were distributed, and I just opened up. And before looking at what was written, I saw Munyanti passing the door, and with thumbs up, she's doing like this.
Giving you a real thumbs up.
Yes. And then I looked down and I saw Paropakaraya was there.
That's your essay which you had learned up, mugged up.
And 1 year before, Swami uses his
instrument.
Class teacher, his teacher.
Shashi ma'am had already prepared you for a year. So how did the exam go, Maya?
Well, after walking out of the exam, I was really, happy, like Swami said, and I passed 51%.
Perfect. Congratulations. What a relief for everyone.
It's Swami's doing it. Indeed. It's just Swami.
Imagine learning a brand new language. It is not an easy language to learn from scratch within a year, and to score 51% is remarkable.
Later, actually, when I joined Anantapur, also one of the students that time in school, she had a tough time with science subjects, and in the interview which she had with her mother, Swami said, don't be like this, come on. There was once a girl, her name was Maya, and she had to write Sanskrit, and only because of her faith did she pass. So that really was a lesson, a big lesson which I treasure, because it's about the relation each one of us have with Bhagwan. That is important, nothing else. Even whatever obstacle or whatever is going on in our surrounding, there's nothing more important than our relation with Bhagwan. All the rest will flow as it is. It's his drama.
It's a great lesson for all the students out there who are listening to this interview, because we all have one subject that we might not be very good at, or many of us dread. And if we have faith in Swami, and if we keep at it and keep studying, in the end, our effort and His grace will come together, and as He gave your example, we'll all get through.
Yes.
I see. And what were the happy parts of your time in Swami's primary school?
Well, actually, this was one of the happiest things, because what is more happy than through something like a struggle or meeting Swami in that. Of course, there are other sides also, like how Swami would call for us to come to darshan for special programs, and the excitement of Swami's calling us for a movie or a program or a drama. That, and how Swami used to send us fruits, and even during sports time He would send us tablets for keeping our strength, or vitamins. The mother love, Him asking us, what did you have for breakfast? Did you have enough? It's immense. I mean, how many things Swami is organizing and doing, and still He takes out time for each and every one of us. That's immense. Like, I remember also in my 10th standard, it was the year that Swami gave a room for us inside the ashram. And Swami told Jivanji Rao, sir, please give Dad the apartment on the third floor, not on the fourth, because he has to carry all the music instruments to the school, the synthesizers and all, that will be heavy for him to carry. And that also was for me another example how Swami's love is detailed and also practical and in living, and there's, you cannot put it on a human scale. It's just absolute.
What was Anantapur experience like? You went to university also here in the Sai University, and you studied philosophy, English Lit, and economics.
It's a university, so the stream is more academic. You grow out of the school times, you have to be more in that direction, but still also it's an excuse to pick up Swami's love. And the teachers, again, not enough can be said for all the teachers from all the schools, all the university, how they are there as Swami's instruments, translating His love again to you via the subject matter, via consolence or whatever. That is amazing. It's it's unique. They're there 24 hours on a day if needed for you to, to assist. And what I remember also very well was how, when we did the Grama Seva, we had the opportunity to join the Grama Seva. That was also such a wonderful experience. Swami called teachers and students and told us also out of which attitude that we best do seva. So not from, you're doing it from God to God, not from one person to another person. That becomes personal service. No, it's really you're doing seva to God in another being. And practically, he would also say, don't forget anyone. Be very particular. Check in each household how many people live there. Is anyone left out in the field? Like these small things also Swami would pay attention to. And you're going there to give. Go with a giving attitude. And it was wonderful. Also, in the evenings, the nights rather, we would make the parcels of food all together, teachers and students, singing bhajans and then putting the rice in the parcels, wrapping it up, putting it in boxes so our brothers could take it the next morning for distribution. That was also such a wonderful feeling. There's nothing better than enthusiasm of youth directed towards the positive side instead of whiling away your time and we've got so much energy at such a point, and it's a beautiful thing that Swami is able to direct it to the right purpose in life. And we, for example, it was a rather funny thing. We were even singing during the packing, and in one such moment, I think we were bringing too much. Poor things, one of the foreigners, one just put a bucket of water down because we were in full Josh,
And you poor man could not sleep, and you weren't particularly melodious, I guess, that day.
I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's so nice.
Yeah, because Gram Seva is an integral, or this village service, selfless service for village, where Swami has introduced this concept as an integral part of Sai education, that every year during the Navratri, the students actually go hands-on and serve the villagers and see what rural India is really about and experience the joy of serving selflessly.
Yes, true. And some of the people really, when they saw Swami's picture, which is also given with a beautiful thought mostly and a calendar behind, they really said, Swami really remembers me. He was here with us so many years ago, and still he remembers and sends the prasadam to us. Yeah, it was so touching to see this.
Now, Maya, you had beautiful 6 years at the Lotus Feet as a student of his higher secondary school as well as a student of the Sai University. And then, what was life like after Prashantinilayam, after Anantapur? There must have been a huge adjustment curve going back to Belgium, settling in, getting on with it in the world outside, which can be really a world of hard knocks.
Well, the hardest thing, I think, in the outside world is our own ego. We have to keep on daily basis to manage.
Oh, that's the issue everywhere. Only in the outside world, the inside world also.
True, but you have here a lot of spiritual comfort. In Parthi, you have a lot of Sai brothers and sisters around you who are all going the same direction. You know what the main importance of life is visible. It's just all around in Parthi. But in when you go out, because everybody gets into that rat race, visually also that importance of life, it's not as clear as it is here. So the spiritual comfort is it's a different experience. Mm-hmm. But that's why I said that's the main thing, because it's our ego which blocks Swami's guidance. It's that. The thing which I really am very happy with is like when you're able to connect in the Sai Center and each time get back to your home basis inside your stomach, like, come on, this is where we're going to.
Mm-hmm. Just staying focused on your main goal.
Yes.
That was tough?
No, not that it's tough, but it's an ongoing battle,
challenge.
Always, every day. Because the thing is, there's such an attitude of you have to prove what you can outside, whereas here in our education, it is Swami is the doer. And that is something which you have to give a counter action against, because that is a heavy mental process going on in the outside world. So for example, there was, if I may narrate,
yes,
a small incident on the job. It happened. There was one of the clients who came with a complaint. Oh, my goods are stuck in India, and your company made a mistake on the documentation, and now I cannot do the business, and big grumble and fussiness, and of course, understandable, we made a mistake. So I rushed with all good intentions immediately to the Belgian ministry to ask them to make a correction on the documents. But I said, sir, please, may I please ask you to make a correction so that he can proceed with the business? And he looked at me, just brushed aside documents, and that's it. He said no. And so that moment, I just moved away a little bit, and I started to think, yes, Swami, we really want to wish to help this person how to go about. And then my dad, every day when we leave the house, he'll tell everyone so many times, tell Gayatri Mantra. Tell, you're connecting with the positive force, and she gives light, and it gives an opening for intuition to come through. So that moment I said, okay, come on. With Gayatri, and I chanted the Gayatri Mantra, and I approached the person. I said, Karuna, I used the exact same words, nothing I changed in my question. Oh yes, we took the paper, made the correction by hand, and stamped it and gave it back to me.
Hmm. So the only difference was you're chanting the Gayatri Mantra.
Yes, and there was not even a big interlapse of time in between. That's why it was so black and white. And yeah, that's the thing. Even with good intention, if you want to do something with your own being, right, with your own ego, your own mind, however it is, it's different. When Swami is taking over, Swami is doing it, it's just, that's a black and white experience which I had there.
You work in the diamond trade, Antwerp being the biggest, I think, diamond trading place in the world.
Yes.
And, you know, diamonds, they say, as popular media would have it, are a girl's best friend, after God, of course, but they don't say that. Now, what is the experience like? Because you're working with people who are dealing with multi-million dollar deals. There's a lot of materialism, a lot of greed, and you're dealing with the substance, which again is very controversial. Is it coming? Are these blood diamonds? Are these diamonds coming from fair trade? And what's happening to them? What is the experience like? Because we all hear about this diamond trade being soaked in blood, and you're in the thick of it. As a Sai student, how does that play out for you?
Well, we are in close connection with the Belgian ministry, also with the diamond head central office in Belgium. And what we do, we work closely and follow the rules completely, which avoids the blood diamonds as much as possible to be in the sector. It's like when you're putting a home burglary system, you can do a lot of things in your house. You can never prevent completely that somebody will break in, but you can delay the time and make it difficult for the burglar to come inside. And that's how proactively also we work together on that scale. There are Kimberley certificates, there are other means by which we delay and prevent and block out as much as possible the diamonds which are coming from, like you say, blood diamonds. And we also have a team of experts sitting there who are really checking the diamonds. And if they see something which is wrong, they will block it and it will be confiscated. So, but ultimately, what I do feel, we do our duty to the maximum. And what is...
But they all mostly come from Africa.
The blood diamonds, you mean to say?
What? Diamonds in general for you, because Canada also produces
Canada
diamonds,
and Russia as well.
And they're well certified and they're fair trade.
Yes. Yes. But, whatever it is, what we're doing in our jobs, you, myself, any, all of our listeners, it's really, the important thing is we're asking Swami's guidance to go through our work, and what will have to happen in a moment, he will give us the right urge and nudge. Okay, go. go in that stream. We are his instruments and we are doing our duty as much as we can. We're not the
decision makers at the top.
No, we do the level best that we can do.
I understand that. I understand you actually joined this industry at an entry level position and you rose very quickly. Tell us about that.
Well, the main intention was after my studies here in Parthi, to be able to stay as much as possible in the Indian atmosphere also, because that's where we were brought up. So, and that's how there was a vacant position for filing actually. And I joined and it was my first solicitation interview and I immediately got this position also. And soon after, Swami's education is very sincere. It's not alienating, it's grounded. So whatever we do it with an intention to please Swami and to please Swami in other beings. So that is, I think that is what stands out to the people mostly and picks us out from the lot. That's how I remember also very well how my dad told me always, don't forget, it's your boss is Swami. It's not the person sitting there in the office in the corner. It's Swami in him. Swami is your boss. And with that intention, we are able to keep the education that we received here in Parthi
Do you ever have a moment, you say that your father taught you, your boss is Swami, you're dealing with Swami, and yet you disagree very strongly with this boss of yours who's Swami. How do you handle that and resolve it? What if you have a major difference of opinion?
Well, what happens, first of all, somebody who is in charge of the company has the full responsibility also, so you cannot go against someone who is bearing the responsibility. So, but what is important at moments when there was a disagreement, I open up and I say, sir, can you give permission to speak freely? And then, yes, he opens the conversation and then I can mention what I feel in this particular situation. And he listens to it, and that's as far as we can go. We can mention what we feel and then pray to Swami, and we've put it on the table, and after that, it's however it will take its way.
And interestingly, your employers are people of Indian origin?
No, he's from a Jewish background.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. But diamond trade has a lot of Indians involved
in
Belgium?
Yes, mainly, yes. Olden days it was mainly the Jewish community, and you see strongly now that it's the Indian community who's in the majority actually. You see it, yeah.
But your company is owned by a Jewish family?
Yes, yes.
Oh, but your clients, many of your clients are of Indian origin, obviously.
Yes, mainly of Jain, the Jain community is working there, yes.
Yeah, because most of the diamonds are cut in India and Surat and...
Yes, and even the tiniest, the smallest, like a strawberry seed, so small they are able to cut it here in India. Mm. Yeah. But I think from the school time, I really mainly treasure how Swamis are everything. He's our friend, our guru, our guide, he's Bhagwan. That's the beautiful part of it. Even a boss in a company, he's just Swami in everyone around us. That's a treasure that's been given to us. And again, it's not an alienating education. It's a grounded education that we receive. Hence, in the society, Swami always says, that's not just withdrawing from society. It's
hands
here and
get
now.
Involved.
Yeah.
So obviously they value you so much. That's why you rose so quickly through the ranks to be where you are today.
Yes, but that's not so important. It's really Swami's relation. That's the most important thing.
And his education.
Yes.
Let's give credit where it's due.
Yes, of course.
Yes. You know, you follow this path. Your evenings are spent in chanting Hanuman Chalisa Vedam and discussing the thought for the day with fellow seekers, Sai devotees. And in the morning, you're back to this world of diamond trade and you take care of logistics. You're actually number two in the line of logistics and insurance. How do your peers and other young people view you? You don't go socializing. Your evenings after hours are not spent at a slightly more fun place. They're only spent in satsang. How do they connect with you and how do they relate to you? Is that an area of difficulty?
No, not really, because the on the job, we are mainly busy with our work, and they know if there's a problem or anything. They come to me to open up, or they speak about what's going on. And after work, it's not really a big thing. Each one is going home then and going to their families. Some may go out to pubs or other things, but they ask one, two times. I never had the urge myself to really go in that direction. So they know once you just say, then there's no issue. And sometimes there are occasions when there's a celebration or whatever, and then we go there and we just be part of it, and nothing really special.
That's very nice. Now, you come back to Parthi every now and then, so you seem so much at home here.
Yes.
Why? Why do you come back so often? At every possible opportunity you have, you're back home to Prashanti.
Because Swami's omnipresence is felt everywhere. But the concentration, the spiritual comfort that exists here in Parthi, it's not comparable. And it's good to come again and again and again for our, coming back to our roots and to recharge and be part of the positive atmosphere. That's a daily thing here. Yeah,
just a way of life, isn't it? So beautiful. Final question, Maya. If I asked you, who is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba for you?
It's the closest, the dearest treasure, friend. Bhagwan is God. He's our, everything. There's nothing deeper in life than Bhagwan. Yeah.
What has the Mahasamadhi done for you?
Mahasamadhi has actually internalized the relation of Bhagwan even more. Because, before we had Swami's physical form and attention also all the time. But it's not only that, Swami is so much more. And it's an internalization process, I think, for all of us. It draws us to seek and to realize God in us, and also to meet God through our relations with others. And as long as the distractions, we should not be busy with the distractions. We are busy with God in another. And that I think Mahasamadhi is mainly an internalization process. Yeah.
Maya, you truly are a diamond in the crown of the Sai education system. Talking to you has been beautiful. I really enjoyed. Would you like to add any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is I really thank everyone, the teachers, my elders, everyone here in Parthi who is keeping Swami's home open to everyone and welcome to everyone. Everyone like Shauryanti, Ashanti, everyone keeps doing the thing that Swami has started up. The teachers, all the schools, the students who are coming back here to teach, it's wonderful that they're just proceeding and welcoming everyone who is free to come here.
Thank you very much, Maya. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, everyone.
Sai Ram, and welcome back to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. Today is the 12th of February, 2015. You just heard my Fleeting Moments conversation with Sai School and Sai University alumna, Ms. Maya Davide. Please send in your comments, suggestions and feedback to this interview by email at listener@radiosai.org. Dear brothers and sisters, let me apologize to all of you once again for starting the show about half hour too late. It was due to a technical difficulty that took a while for our engineers to resolve. We hope the Swami in you can forgive us for this unfortunate lapse. Thank you very much for your understanding. And now I am super pleased to play for you part one of a 6-part interview with Professor M. Nanjundaya. If you think my intro to this interview is a bit long, I ask you to think again. That is because after you hear him speak, you will know what I said was hardly adequate. So without any further delay, I'm pleased to play for you part one of Tryst with Divinity with Professor
M. Nanjundaya, and over the next 5 weeks, I will continue to play the remaining 5 parts of this gem of an interview that taught me so much and left me so inspired, and I know for sure you're going to absolutely love it. And as always, as I play each episode, I will look forward to your feedback by email at listener@radiosci.org. Until we meet next Thursday, please be well and keep seeking. And do whatever you can to stay inspired and in a positive state of mind. So over now to Professor Nanjundaya's interview, and I will see you next Thursday. Thank you so much for your understanding. Once again, very sorry for the delay, and have a great day ahead. Enjoy.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Tryst with Divinity. Under the spotlight today is Professor M. Nanjundaya. The story of Professor Nanjundaya's coming to Swami is one of how divine grace never just rains but pours. The former controller of examinations of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Professor M. Nanjundaya, came to Bhagwan Baba in the year 1973 as a result of a simple prayer to be an instrument of Bhagwan. He had prayed to Baba to give him an opportunity to just deliver a few guest lectures at Baba's Whitefield College. That is when Bhagwan, in all his love, extended it by asking him to join as a full-time lecturer in his college. He joined as a reader and the head of the Commerce Department in the erstwhile Sri Satya Sai College of Art, Science and Commerce for Boys at Whitefield, which was then affiliated to the Bangalore University. Before that, he was the head of the Department of Commerce, MES College, affiliated to Bangalore University. Professor Nanjundaya had stood first in Karnataka University's MCOM program. Despite many lucrative professional possibilities, he chose teaching as he believed that it was a noble profession that had the power to mold the next generation. During the first 3 years of his heading the Commerce Department at Baba's Whitefield College, many of the top ranks of the university were bagged by Sai students, thus giving immense joy to Swami, and Swami felicitated him in a grand ceremony in 1976 in recognition of his services. After staying 9 years with Baba in Vrindavan Ashram and serving his college, Professor Nanjundaya was asked to come to Puttaparthi as the Deputy Controller of Examination in the newly formed Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, a deemed university. Since then, he has been instrumental in setting up the examination section of the university from scratch and also in framing the syllabus for the MCOM and MBA programs. More importantly, he is one of the few chosen ones who enjoyed close proximity to Baba, receiving many spiritual lessons from him in person during the course of his daily interaction. He was also blessed with the privilege of translating Baba's discourses into English from the years 1981 to 93. In Baba's own words, during the felicitation ceremony marking the retirement of Professor Nanjundaya from an extended duty as controller of examination, on 9th of July 2010, Baba said, and I quote, "Nanjundaya has been the controller of examinations. He has been very kind to all students. He has been working day and night in order to declare the results well in time. He never used to take rest even for a while. He would engage himself in correcting papers even while suffering from fever. Everybody was depending upon him. He had to take much trouble in sending results to Anandapur and Bangalore colleges. We were very much concerned at the troubles he had to face," unquote. Today, dear listeners, I have the honor of sitting across from Professor Nanjundaya, the controller of examination of my own alma mater, and to welcome him to Radio Sai. Sairam, sir.
Sairam, ma, Sairam.
How nice to have you here. Welcome to Radio Sai, sir.
It's such a great joy. In fact, after listening to your introduction, I'm a little overwhelmed. Thank you.
Oh, sir, please don't say that. Just reading a few facts, that's all. You are one of the few individuals who has enjoyed such immense grace from Swami, and you've always maintained such humility about your stature, about your position. How did this journey, this fabulous journey of coming to the lotus feet, begin?
As you said, it is purely and totally by the kind grace of Bhagwan. I was a Ramakrishnaite The Gospel of Ramakrishna Kadunduyam was my Veda. The criteria for judging whether a person has realized God or whether a person is God himself was the way that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa speaks so clearly, so forcefully, so straight away in Gospel. I came to Parthi in 1967 for the first time, more out of curiosity. Earlier I had seen Swami once in 1962-65, but probably I was not mature enough. Swami allowed time. 67, when I came here by 11 o'clock in the morning, Swami unexpectedly came on the first floor and I had darshan. He gave some instructions to some people which I did not understand nor was I interested. I simply liked. Then I felt that my criteria must be satisfied.
Which was based on the Gospel of Ramakrishna. Incidentally, that's a book I have read and reread many times. It's so inspiring. Really? You can, it's like a magic book. You can open any page and it speaks directly to you.
That's exactly what I wanted. If Swami can give that, then Swami is God for me because I am not capable of understanding or judging God. Then I asked someone whether there is anything which Swami has written on spiritual topics. In Prasanthinilayam, after darshan, I asked. Someone, I think by his grace, mentioned to me, yes, there is Gita Vahini in Telugu. I was all the more happy because Telugu happens to be my mother tongue and I know Telugu. I purchased the book. I read it. It was as direct as Paramahamsa's teachings in Gospel. I liked it. But the devil doubt rose up. He said, where is the guarantee that it is written by Swami? Someone else could have written also. One Swami might have given the name. So I started attending Swami's discourses. There is total conformity, the way that Swami speaks and the way that things were expressed in Gita Vahini. And that was the end of
So you were convinced. Your doubts were gone.
Yes.
He passed the test. The litmus test.
See, look at the grace of God when he comes down.
Yeah. How humble
for saving
he?
Us. And we in our own ignorance.
True.
Tests him and he condescends to satisfy us.
Yes.
That is more important, you know. Anyway, then I fell in love with Swami. Swami became my God. Every function without fail I would attend in Prasanthinilayam. I would regularly attend all bhajan sessions, Nagar Sankirtan sessions in Bangalore, Vayalikavel extension. And 1973, from nowhere I got the message that I could be a teacher observer in summer course. 1973, there was a summer course in spirituality and Indian culture in Vrindavan. I attended that. The privilege of an observer teacher is he doesn't have any batch to take care of regarding their discipline, their attendance and all that. But I enjoyed all the privileges which a group teacher would enjoy.
And you could have very nice darshan in a good comfortable spot to sit.
Totally relaxed and totally concentrating, not being bothered about what I have to do, etc. I simply liked Swami's discourses. Incidentally, I am looking into the translation part of these discourses by Dr. Bhagavantam. Dr. Bhagavantam is an extraordinarily accomplished interpreter or translator. His knowledge of English, his expression, everything is good. But someone asked me whether there is possibility of slightly improving here and there, some word missing, some thought not represented, etc. That's what I'm just saying. So I am enjoying thoroughly. As you mentioned in your introduction, the last but one day, that is about 19th or 20th of June, when Swami was signing the autographs of the students after the dinner, I was compelled, something forced me to go and ask Swami, "Swami, give me a chance to serve you, Swami."
Although you had a secure job in the college affiliated to the Bangalore University already.
Yes, yes. About that also I mentioned very interesting things will come, therefore I just didn't mention that. Then, of course, I was working in I headed the Department of Commerce in MES College, a premier college in Bangalore. It is situated in Malleshwaram. Then, I believe him, I don't know how these two can go together. I was damn afraid of Swami. Damn afraid of Swami.
Why?
Physically, I do not know. But I loved Swami.
You loved him? Were you in awe of him or were you in fear of him?
No, I loved him in the sense I was ready to do anything for the sake of Swami. And that much of commitment, but whether I am acceptable, God, whether he would excuse me for some lapses here and there. That kind of feeling, I think, now, in retrospect. So, I came behind Swami in one corner. When he was signing, I said, "Swami." He said, "Huh?" "Swami, Swami seva chese avakasam ivvala Swami." Means, "Swami, I pray that Swami gives me an opportunity to serve him." Swami suddenly turned, looked into my eyes. I tell you, it was a total searching kind of feeling, light into my heart, as if he's seeing my heart inside out. A kind of thrill, but at the same time, I cannot explain, it is delightful, not fearsome, but very deep kind of look into my heart. Then he said, "Yes, Mangaru, but what is it that you are doing now?" "Swami, I am in MES College, commerce teacher." "Yes, we want commerce teacher," Swami said. "You go and see Dr. Gokak," said. And at that time, I didn't have any idea to serve Swami as a full-time teacher in his college. I was fairly popular as a teacher of accountancy and statistics in Bangalore University colleges. I thought that I could come on my own scooter and 2 days in a week, 2 periods a day, 4 periods cover one subject completely, either statistics or accounts, honorary teacher, come and teach and go back. This was my idea. And now I feel, don't be so niggardly while asking Bhagavan. Be a little more liberal. Some part-time lecturer, he must have thought. But he said, "Talk to Dr. Gokak." One person came running to me and said, a teacher there, "Sir, here they will pay you 300 rupees as your salary. You are a leader there. They will not be able to give you more than that." Then, it was difficult for me because I entirely depended upon my salary to run my family. I was getting about 1,000 rupees, 700 and odd salary, and other income about 200-300, 1,000 rupees at that time. I wanted the reader salary, 705 rupees, I wanted. Otherwise, I would not be able to manage the family.
You had 3 young kids, young children at home?
Oh, yes. I had 3 children, family, and those 3 children were, one was 1 year old, the other 2 were going to school.
And Swami was 47 at that time. How old were you, sir?
I was 36. And then, I didn't go to Dr. Gokak. I went back. fine evening, when I returned home, my wife told me that Swami wanted to see you. I said that you are mad. Swami wants to see me. How? No, that convener from Vayali Samithi had come. He said that Swami wants to see you, you should go. I stopped in the scooter, went immediately to that gentleman's. He said, we'll go together, come on. We went. Swami had finished his darshan, Swami was going back. I could see only Swami's back. And he said, we'll go to Dr. Gokak. The gentleman who came with me said that we'll go to Dr. Gokak. I went to Dr. Gokak. Dr. Gokak asked me, are you interested in becoming a commerce teacher here? Yes, sir, I said. Then will you apply? Sir, I am a reader, head of the Department of Commerce in MBS College. I get about 705 rupees salary. I need that much here. He said, we have advertised only for a lecturer's post. You are a reader. I don't care for that, sir. I am prepared to be a lecturer. But my salary must be 705.
Downgrading professionally.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he was shocked. He said, I must be either mad or I must have been likely to be thrown out from the other college, therefore he is in such a great haste to join. Then he said, hey, don't be so hasty, I say. More like father to me. He knew me during the summer course time, 73. So he said, don't be so hasty and emotional. You are a reader in the Department of Commerce in a premier college and you want to come here as a lecturer. I said, sir, for Swami's sake, I want to come. I don't mind other things. Even regarding the salary, I would not be able to manage my family without that much. Therefore, I want that salary. That is no problem at all, he said. We can fix you on a lecturer's grade in such a way that your emoluments will be 705 rupees. That's no problem. But are you willing? Yes, sir. Are you not interested in discussing this with your parents? My parents always permit me regarding certain things. So, I am ready. Then, I will go and speak to Swami. After 1 week, you come back. I'll talk to you. Then I went back. He spoke to our principal. Our principal of MES College, one Professor Shastri, was his friend. He wanted to find out whether there is any problem for me. they wanted to get rid of me. He said, no. He was an alumnus of MBS College. You know him personally very well. He was the first batch student in this college here. And we are not...
First ranker.
First rank. Mm. And we don't want to leave him, he said. So Shastri told Gokar. Later I came to know about him. Then I went to... So 1 week later, when I went, Dr. Gokak said, no, we don't want you to take as a lecturer. We are going to advertise for a reader's post. You apply for reader, and you will take as a reader. I said, I was shocked, surprised. He said, yes, Swami has said, we will take him as a reader. You advertise, we will take him. But that is how... It all ended up.
And I'm also in awe of Dr. Gokak's abilities as an administrator. He did his due diligence, he did his reference check.
really.
Very meticulous.
No, really. See, a person who is given to the imaginary flights, a poet, a scholar.
So down to earth, so he came from being an administrator.
And he advised me not really find out, don't be so emotional.
And so hasty.
So hasty.
Yeah.
But he understood me, when particularly when Swami cleared it and said that you apply for advertise for various posts, he was all the more convinced that this is a genuine case.
So you could have your cake and eat it too. You got to come as a reader with the right salary.
Yes, Swami. And then there were a few obstacles which I can mention. 1972, Swami's college, there is some problem. Excepting three teachers, all the people were sent out. So, my friends and my relatives, my well-wishers were telling, don't join the college as a lecturer there. You are having a permanent job here. Within 5 minutes you can reach from home to this college, and you are having 3 children who don't know whether you are having any savings at all. In such a case, giving up job and taking a chance there, particularly when they have thrown out all the people, I said I was bent upon joining. I didn't care for anything. But still, I was not irrational or unreasonable. I stood by my faith in Karma Siddhantam. I really believed sufficiently. I had read books and I was, you know, exposed towards these kind of things. Therefore, I said, I know by trusting God, if I join, such a thing may not happen. They may not throw me out. Mm-hmm. But in case that happens, mm-hmm. I don't deny that such a thing can never happen, mm-hmm. but in case that happens, it's more on account of the consequences of my actions in the previous births rather than by Swami's or by the management's action. Even if I don't join, if I have to suffer there, I will suffer here. This is my firm faith, I am joining. Only thing is, I want to know my wife's views. I asked my wife, she is a very pious type of lady. She said, if you like to join, yes I like, you join. So these things came. And there was one more thing. I asked before I joined, the interview was over, and everything was fine. I was to join. When I came, Principal Narendra was the principal. He says that you can join. Then I wanted to meet the head of the Department of Commerce in that college, one Ramanna. And I asked him, can I join? You can join, but people were sent out last year. I was also sent out. Finally, when I appealed, they took me in. What could be the reason why they were sent out? Why you were sent out? We don't know the reason. We asked the principal. Principal said, there's no reason. We are sending you. Can I ask the principal? Please ask. I went to Principal Narendra again and asked her, sir, I am having 3 children. A permanent job I am having. Before I come and join here, I want to know what is the criteria for being accepted in the college.
And for sending out.
For sending out. Because if I stall any chance of being sent out now, if I know, I may think about it.
Yeah.
So he said he's a very, very mature, very fine type of person with very few words. He said, in your case, it may not happen. Very measured words, in your case, it may not happen. That's all that he said. Then, of course, I went to resign, then resignation. That was another problem. Our principal says, I will not leave you.
From the Bangalore College.
From the Bangalore College. And I said, sir, please leave me, I want to join. Why, what is lacking here? I've got every facility, I've taken such a good name. And where do you want to go? Your devotion is different. You can go to Swami whenever you want. But where is the need for you to go? Resigning the job. No, no, I would not. He lifts the paperweight, he has a tendency of shifts it and says, no, I will not leave. I prayed to Swami, Swami, this is my something like my mother, alma mater. Should I go with all bitterness? Kindly see that he releases me, Swami. Mentally, just a prayer. Within minutes he changed. Within minutes, believe me. He asked me, are you very particular about going? That was the first question after my prayer he asked me. Yes, sir, I am very particular. I am not going there for money, for any other facility excepting for Swami. I want to serve Swami. You know that I am not so much interested in money, even when you offered me NCC officer's post. I said, no, not necessary. Please relay me. Okay, you can go, he said. Okay, you can go.
Instant turnaround.
Instant turnaround. And then he said, I told him, sir, 3 months notice is required. Can I give you 3 months notice or 3 months salary? He said, not required. You need not give anything. 3 months notice is not required. You can go. He said, this is how things developed. And then I joined Swami's college. This is the...
Beautiful. Now then began a very beautiful journey of developing closeness to Swami.
Yes, yes. But that was again not so smooth. When I joined the college, Swami was unhappy with the teachers. So Swami would choose giving darshan after all of us go to classes. I cried sitting on the steps. What is this, Swami? I came for your sake. I don't have darshan. We can't come in for darshan into the compound. And outside, you come and complete the darshan and go away. But this went on for some time. But once Swami talked to me, I don't exactly remember what was the turning point. But one thing, yes, I remember. I used to spend even nights in the hostel with the boys because that was a new college. 1969 the college came into existence. Less number of teachers, more work. So I would stay in the hostel and spend time with the students. Swami came to know about it. Then Swami began speaking to me a little more. One thing I must tell you now. Swami knows everything, but he will not use anything which he knows just like that. In a natural way, as a human being, he wants to get convinced about things. This is one thing very, very strange, very mysterious about Swami.
The veil of Maya.
The veil of Maya. And he knows, but once they conquer what he knows and what he gets in the physical field, then of course he plunges. He asked one day after the evening student session, there was some used to meet students every day after the evening bhajan is over. I went with Swami a few steps when he was climbing. I said, Swami, he turned back, Swami, can I go to Bangalore? He indicated that I should not go to Bangalore, to my home. Very strange, in a very strange tone, he said, go.
So you read it as he wasn't particularly pleased with the idea.
Yes. And that is an extraordinary grace on the part of Swami to have uttered those words. He would never interfere. He would never take upon himself to guide. He would not take upon himself to do a particular thing unless it is required from his mission point of view. But this is purely from my point of view. Then that was Veda for me. That's all. Then only during the weekends I would go home. Otherwise I would stay, brought my clothes, etc. A small briefcase. Dr. Lakshmi Simon's cupboard I used to share. And I used to spend day and night there. And all this, you see, when the results come, we got ranks as you mentioned. So I was supremely happy. Is it by any chance, by my effort, that there were ranks? I say yes, by my effort also. Swami has created the entire scene there. 1973 summer course time, we selected some students from Bombay, from Delhi, and from various cosmopolitan centers. They are all having stuff with them. They are all ranked students. He creates, guides me to stay there and work. I work. He takes care of my family entirely.
Who were now living in Bangalore, in the city you were in Whitefield.
Yes, yes.
Throughout the working week.
Yes, yes. And that was one thing which is difficult to believe. Everything Swami does, but pretends as if Swami is not doing. One thing that you should remember, you take first step.
He takes the risk.
100 steps he takes.
It's like he says, you do my work, I take care of yours.
Yes. So that way, in fact, Professor Kasturi and Dr. Gokak thought that I'm having some kind of misunderstanding with my family. And therefore, I'm saying that.
Yeah, domestic discord. That's why the man ran away.
Kasturi said, Yemata Nanjundaya, Yinta Vairagyamu Yivayasulo, what, Mr. Nanjundaya, what is this kind of detachment in this young age? You must go and live with your family, spend time with them. Is the time you have to enjoy family life also? I said, no, sir, everything is fine. There is no such problem. They are happy. Things are going on well. So, to that extent, I would stay. And believe me, absolutely no problem in the family. Three children going to school, my wife managing, all that. And the way that Swami takes care of, my wife used to make breakfast for Swami. Every Sunday morning, she would bring those three children and making food for me separately because my stomach was not quite all right. Separate food for them, children and herself, and for Swami's breakfast. She would get up by 3 o'clock or so and do it. One incident can I mention?
Please.
Please. This is how, and she would come. I'll be waiting for the bus to come, collect the bag, run before Swami comes for his breakfast. Or should this bag must reach
his residence?
My dining hall. Radha Krishna was my student. I would give him and come back. One day, she got up at 3 o'clock. She wanted to make coconut chutney. She broke the coconut. The coconut was spoiled.
Oh, I see.
There was only that coconut, no substitute. She felt so miserable. Children, three children were sleeping. She locked the room in the middle of the night, early morning probably, by 3:30 or something like that. She went to the owner of our, from where we used to buy the provision shop. He woke him up, brought a coconut, broke it, made chutney, she brings it. All this I didn't know. And I took it to Swami and gave it. The real thing comes there. Swami calls Mrs. Ratan Lal and says, Mrs. Ratan Lal, dekho idhar, chutney kaisa hai, tumhi banata hai. Nanjundaya ka wife banaya. Susilama is another lady who was helping Mrs. Ratan Lal. Occasionally, you know, that day she was there. You are also a Vaisya. You are also making chutney. Look at that chutney. Look, I didn't know all that. Then,
because Mrs. Ratan Lal normally prepared food for someone.
Yes, food for someone.
Talking very highly of your, the chutney prepared.
The reason is
because of her devotion,
her taking so much of risk.
Yeah.
And making the chutney. This is what.
So, what kind of food did she prepare for Swami?
Mostly idli, chutney, or dosa, sometimes vada. This is all that she used to prepare once in a week.
Sundays.
It,
yeah.
And so this also happened. And when I took the bag, and another thing also, Swami knows that the children also will not take food until this bag goes back. This is Naivedya for Swami. It will become prasadam. And Swami said, they will be waiting. You take this, he said. I took it. And then she mentioned to me what happened there. This is Swami's extraordinary gift, giving so much of joy to her. So much of fulfillment. And conceding to, whatever naivedyam she used to prepare.
The best food back,
yes,
for the family.
So this is how it went on and on.
So how did you, after serving in the Whitefield College for so many years, how did the transition to Prashanta Nilayam happen when the university came into being?
Okay. The other thing also I may mention, Swami in 1967-68, 77-78, because he's 73 age old, 77-78, he came from Prasanthalam and told Sudarshan, Dr. Mr. Sudarshan, warden of the hospital, and myself, we should do PhD. Sudarshan accepted, but I said, Swami, I don't want to do PhD. I wanted 36-37, no, even 40 probably. At this age, why should I waste my time in looking to useless things, Swami? Let me think of Thee and spend my time with Thee. It will be wasting time, Swami. No, 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 you do. Our university will come. You will have nice opportunities there, he told. I said, Swami, whatever is the thing, but it will be too much for me to spend so much of time on these kind of useless things, Swami. This went on for about a week. Finally, Swami said, all right. Then what happened? It's a wonderful thing. 1981, for Guru Purnima function also I came here. Swami called me upstairs. I was doing Padaseva. Swami said, are you interested in becoming controller of examining university? I am not interested, not disinterested, Swami. Whatever Swami says, I will do. No, 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 not that way. If you are interested, you tell me, because Dr. Gokak, Vice Chancellor, Chakravarti wanted you to be the controller of examination here. If you like it, you say, then I will tell them, they will take you. Really, Swami, I am not interested. I have no such interest as such. Whatever you do, whatever you tell, I'll do that. Beyond that, nothing else, Swami. No, 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 not that way. Hey, now tell me. Hey, you would not leave me. Really, Swami, I am not interested. Then he said, is it a good job? I said, yes, Swami, it is a very responsible job, but a good job. Then he said, all right, you join. My order, you join. I'll tell you when you'll have to be ready. Don't tell anyone about this particular thing. Keep it to yourself.
Swami is very particular about keeping things under wraps till everything was officially announced.
I'll tell you one thing. Yes. See, this he said, I kept it confidential.
Did you tell your wife?
No, no, no. I would not swear an inch from Swami's word. Swami knew it thoroughly about it, thoroughly, and he would trust me for anything. Then when I went back, I had to tell Principal Narendra this because of one specific reason. In that college, Principal Narendra and myself, being a very senior teacher, we used to work together for the good of the college, programs, this, that, etc. So suddenly if I leave, I thought it would be unfair on my part. The college may be inconvenient, something like that. Then very casually I mentioned to Narendra, I may be going there as a controller of examination. Then Swami came there after a few days. He mentioned to Swami, Swami, you see, Manjunda is coming as controller of examinations there. Then there will be some problems here, Swami, he mentioned. There are no problems, everything will be all right, Swami said. And after he went away, then I had to go, I went to Swami. Swami said, with all seriousness, with a stern face, did you mention to Principal Narendra that you are becoming controller of examinations? I was certain, what is wrong that I have committed? So she said, Swami, I have to mention, this is our college. Suppose tomorrow there is some inconvenience here, who will have to do this, Swami? Therefore I mentioned to Swami, excepting for Principal Narendra for this purpose, I have not mentioned even to my wife. I have not mentioned anything, Swami. Swami is a perfectionist. Swami's word is Veda. And on no conditions, for no reason, can you violate it, excepting perhaps out of your ignorance and out of your commitment for Swami and the organization. He said, still he wanted to show his displeasure. Go. He said, and then I went, this is
So he actually did not expect you to even tell
Certainly. Certainly not. Once he tells, don't tell anyone, me, don't tell anyone.
Ironclad.
There is no question of principle, this, that, etc. I'll tell you one more thing. Once Rama Brahman Garu was coming, he had, Rama Brahman Garu was the caretaker of that Vrindavan, Swami's bungalow. He had a glass, a frail kind of plate or something like that, very valuable one, in his hand. Swami, from the room, called Ramabrahman, Adakar Parasasi Nikara, throw it and come. He went to a table, Ramabrahman went to the table, kept that one, and he came. He stood there for 5 minutes, Swami did not talk to him at all. He said, Swami, you called me. When did I call you? I called you then, he said. Yes, Swami, I had said, what did I tell you? Throw it and come, I said. You should throw and come.
Do as I say.
Yes. So such, but that for the privileged few, his capacity to forgive you and to bear with our inadequacies is enormous. But when he wants to train for a particular thing, you have to measure up. At each stage, there is what is called a degree of perfection which he expects. Not from everyone. And in fact, one more thing that you should know, one worst thing that one can do, Swami, is to tell a lie or to be hypocritical. You can commit a blunder, he will forgive you. Once, there was a student who became a lecturer, Nityananda man, and he was asked to take Swami's car and see that the battery is charged, go a little distance and come back.
Mm-hmm.
While coming back, the car touched the corner of the door, compound door.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and told Swami, very apologetically he said, Swami, I am so sorry, Swami, that this has happened. Hey, what is that? Don't worry, he said. But the same Swami, if you tell a lie, you forfeit your claim for his grace, for his love. He would not excuse you for that. There are instances.
Can you share any?
Yes. Some of the teachers, they were students with us. After the college came here, before the university there was a college here, there was a problem.
By problem you mean like a discipline problem?
No, I'll tell you. Swami had taken them to Kashmir.
Yes, the 1980 trip to Kashmir.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
At that time, people with their little minds tried to judge Swami, tried to measure Swami, tried to decide for Swami what he should do, what he should not do, in their own minds.
Mm-hmm.
That means they have overstepped, they have used their limited intelligence to understand, to comprehend. Swami's actions no one should judge. One can understand, but one should have faith. The faith is, whatever Swami does is perfect and full of love. This is an axiom. Full of love. Without love, he will never be anything. And only for the good of people. No iota of selfishness in what Swami does.
So what about this stepping outside, overstepping the boundaries by the others? What sense?
Yes. That is, he mistook Swami. He talked, he loved Swami. And in fact, he came to me. Sir, why should Swami do this? What Swami did, I did not know. While conducting himself, he might have conducted in such a way that like an ordinary human being, or even like an ignorant person, he might have acted, we do not know what all that. Then I said, why should Swami do this? I said, this is his leela. Sir, I am too mature. Don't use that word leela and all that. I don't understand that. I said, in fact it is leela, all the things we cannot understand. I said, okay, sir, I have respect for you. I don't agree with you. It's all right. He left. Anyway, this one is coming along with this. I will link it up. But then he said, these people came.
Sundara, Sundara.